listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
On the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, as we always are, every Friday at 11 Pacific Standard Time in the morning. Nice to have you with me here, as always. It's so nice to hear from you, as always. I'm going to be having a free-for-all Friday, and that means that I'm answering a lot of listeners' questions who emailed me and or called me and asked me to help them with their issues on the air. Let me state right now that we do not have a therapeutic relationship, you and I. This is just for advice and, you know, to get information. Maybe you'll learn some stuff and whatever. So I welcome your questions, and I welcome you to call me, too. You can do that to live if you like. It's 323. That's the Los Angeles, Southern California area code. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Call me if you have anything you want to talk about, or if you want to make comments about past shows, or if you want to help somebody out with their issues. You know, it's always nice to hear from other people, not just Dr. Michelle. And then we can work on that as well. By the way, you can check out my website if you'd like. It's drmichelletherapy.com. DR, it's abbreviated. DR, you don't have to put a period behind it. DR Michelle with two L's, therapy. .com. And of course, there you can learn more about me and my theories and what I do. And I talk a lot about making positive life changes now and detoxing from the drama in your life. Oh, yeah. We all get addicted to that drama sometimes. But it's when to let go of it. That's the important thing. And that's what I talk about. Also, you can check me out in all my archives on iTunes now. It's free from the iTunes store. Check it out. Whatever kind of subject you'd like, it's there, baby. Relationships, problems, jealousy, self-esteem, anxiety, whatever. I've talked about them all in the past, and I still will continue to talk about them if you like, to help you out. So check me out on iTunes if you would like to do so. And yeah, you can write me. Right here on the webpage on LA Talk Radio, you see my webpage, drmichelletherapy.com, which you can click on. And, of course, my link is also there to my email address. That's the radio station. Everything you need to help, I'll try to do it. And it's docmichelle@aol.com. But it's right there on the webpage here on LA Talk Radio. Check it out. And you may write me, as all of the people did today, who I will be reading the answers, hopefully, to their questions. And, well, you know, maybe I can help you out. And again, I encourage your participation, too. Whatever you'd like to say. 323-203-0815. Because this is the most entertaining, of course, internet talk station in the world. That's us. Let's get rocking. Here's the first one. Dear Doc, this is from Betsy. I started to have an affair about 6 months ago. Now I've accidentally fallen in love with this person, and he says he loves me too. Here comes the but. You know there's a but coming. But the problem is, the person I'm having the affair with is his brother, my brother-in-law. My husband is a great person. I don't want to hurt him, but I don't love him anymore, and he knows it. So how do I tell him how much of a terrible person I am? Oh, yes. Oh, Yes, you're so wonderful. You're admitting you're such a wonderful person. Excuse me. Doc, I can't stay with him anymore. I think I need to follow my heart. I just don't know how to do it. Thank you, Betsy. All right. Sounds to me like you've already decided, Betsy. I mean, come on. You want to leave your husband and you want to live with his brother. You're still wondering how to tell, you know, your husband without hurting him. And if he still loves you, it's going to be much more difficult. Here's the dealio with you. You probably have an infatuation. And there's something like exciting about being with his brother. It's sneaky. It's wrong. You know, it's usually a temporary crush. It may be too early to determine which of these two cases, you know, your situation is. Like, is it a temporary crush? Is it like the real thing? But don't you think this is wrong? As some of my friends say, on so many levels. On so many levels. It's probably about sex and infatuation. There's something within you that's a little bit sneaky. Why? If you wanted to have an affair, why couldn't you go out and do it with a stranger or something? You have to do it with his brother? Come on. And let me tell you about infatuations. I'm sorry, Betsy, but this is what I'm feeling right now. This is, I'm not here to demean you. And I appreciate you being open enough to share this problem with me. But people with infatuations, really, this is what I believe. And this is what I talk about in my book, Detoxing the Drama from Your Relationships. People with infatuations can become as ruthless as drug addicts. It's true. You know, a crush, it gives like a high, really similar to the one caused by drugs or, you know, alcohol. Life becomes sweeter in the crush or the drug and the most important thing in one's life. You know, I don't know what's happening if you have kids. I don't know. But everybody's sacrificed. You know, the least ruthless thing you can do is to try to make it work with your husband and get some therapy and find out why you need to go to his brother and have an affair. Okay? Or here's the thing. Find your own place and see how that works with the kids. Don't even think about moving into his brother's apartment, your brother-in-law's place. And again, I don't know if your brother-in-law is single or what the deal is there. Maybe he is. I don't know. A long time ago, one of my patients, they had like a similar problem. She was having an affair with her cousin. And when it finally all came out, she couldn't help herself. She had to just break it off with her husband. And all the family knew. She just was so infatuated with this guy. She lost most of her friends and the family turned against her. She hadn't really, really thought about that. All she was interested in was satisfying her, you know, infatuation and sexual desires. And this is the right thing. It's like that rush, you know. And I want you to also take a look at why you went the wrong way. Why did you do this? Because a lot of times people become infatuated when they have a problem that they can't solve. They defocus, right? They escape. They start a new relationship and they concentrate on it. Instead of solving your own stuff, trying to solve your own relationships, go to a relationship therapist with your husband. You know? Because what I see a lot of times is when women leave their families for strong infatuation, or men, after a while they want to return to their husbands again. The grass is always greener on the other side. You know, it always is exciting and new and sexy and, oh. But only the future is going to tell how your situation is going to develop. You know, you've had your process going on. You've been doing this for 6 months. And you know, it sounds to me like you want to get out of the husband thing. And see, he hasn't had the chance to meet someone else, I don't think. He sounds like he's clueless. I'm kind of sad that he may be clueless about maybe he's not. How close is he and his brother? Huh? Anyway, what's going to happen is your husband, if you decide to break up with him, he needs to go through his own process. You know, he's going to be, horrible, feeling horrible. If he's clueless about you're having an affair with his brother, you know, he's going to go through anger, despair, sadness, and then he's going to reflect on his alternatives, probably. I mean, think about this, Betsy. Maybe he'll want to fall in love with your sister or your best friend or your cousin or, you know, how would you feel? Don't destroy this marriage. Don't destroy a situation that's been going on for a long time. If this man is a good man, but you're just not interested in him anymore and you want to have a fling with his brother, come on. Try to make this work out. Go to couples therapy with your man. Get rid of this brother affair. I mean, that's really tacky of his brother to be having an affair with you. Two, shame on the both of you. Get some help. You can control this. Just get out of it. Get out of it. Or destroy your husband and other members of the family, whoever you may have, and you may have to deal with it later on in life. Don't know how old you are either, so I don't know how much experience you've had with being married and, you know, life's situations or being infatuated or how many times you've done that in the past. But there you go. Try to help you out. Hope that helps. If you have a comment about my response to Betsy, you can call me, 323-203-0815, or you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. And today's Free For All Friday here on LA Talk Radio, where I help you out with your problems, questions, give you some advice, hopefully a little entertaining, and, you know, maybe I can help you out. All right? So let's move on. Hey, Doc. I always love those letters that say, hey, Doc. After being in four relationships, which all lasted a year, I find that my sexual desire for that person drops significantly after the first 7 to 10 months. It gets to the point where I have to fantasize about other women in order to achieve climax. Sometimes I think the issue is kind of a Madonna whore complex. At first, the sex is wild, but gets more tame. Sometimes I think it's fear of commitment. You think? Either way, this issue is coming to a head with my current relationship. I've never had such deep feelings for anybody, but I've been fantasizing about other women for about 5 months now. I don't think I can do that any longer. To me, this means some serious choices. I don't know what to do. Paul. Alrighty. Yeah, I mean, the thing is sexual attraction is strongest at the beginning of a relationship. You know that. It's the excitement. It's all, you know, it's all the fun stuff. Everybody's on good behavior, you know. And I don't mean to get, you know, into being a cultural anthropology teacher or anything, but, you know, nature's goal is to produce children. And historically, in the past, people had a child after 9 months before birth controls were invented. So, you know, if the meaning in your relationships is to be as much as possible infatuated with a woman sexually, then you're going to have to change partners every time the passion decreases. I mean, you're going to be moving on. Sounds like, yeah, four times? Come on now. I don't know how old you are, what your situation is. Sounds like you're single. You're just kind of moving through women. But how rewarding is this kind of life, Paul, in the long run? Come on, think about it. You know, here's the reality. When couples have been faithful and together a really long time, I have clients who've been married for years, you know? Sometimes they think about different things to get them excited sexually. You know, they have to go some other place, but they're having sex with their husband or wife. They're maintaining it. You know, it's not really important. It's just a way to climb over the wall and reach a climax. You see what I'm saying? It's whatever works. You want to fantasize about the pool boy? I'm not talking about a man. Well, if that works, go for it. But you know what I'm saying? Whatever works, you're with your man, you're loving your man. I would prefer, psychologically, when you're making love to your committed man, that, you know, you're not fantasizing about the pool boy, but sometimes whatever gets you over the mountain to make it work, because you're there making love to him. Now, a lot of people would disagree on me, with me on that and say, ah, I couldn't stand it if I thought my lady was thinking about, oh, come on. We're all human being. Okay, we all have sexual thoughts and feelings. We have to accept that men are much more sexual and visual. That's just the way it is. Not take it personally. You find somebody you connect with and love, you have good sex with them, or you work out together how you want to have good sex with them. You talk about it. You work it out. You know? And you say that you might be afraid of commitment, Paul. You got to think about what you really want in life. I mean, what is your goal in life? I don't know, again, how old you are. You don't mention it here. That's fine. But is wild sex your only goal? I mean, that's cool. You know, a whole bunch of guys I've seen in therapy who are married or in committed relationships say that they dream of sleeping with a lot of women. They think about it. My God. You know, what is that? Every how many seconds do men think about sex? I don't know. There's women in the workplace. There's women on the street. There's women in the bank. There's women in, they see a hot woman. Come on now. But they also understand that their wives would not appreciate following through. You see? It, you know, fantasizing about other women helps guys calm down their instincts. You know, fantasize is fine. Don't become addicted to porn. Don't be like that. Women don't like that. But sometimes in that way, you can stay with the woman you love. You know, as soon as it gets boring sexually or you need that thrill, the thrill is gone. She's gone. Gone. Out of your life. Great way to live. Hey, that's what you want. I say go to a therapist and find out why you have fear of commitment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Alrighty, let's move on. This is Dr. Michelle with you, by the way, and you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, as you always are on Fridays about 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time in the morning. And you can find me on my website at Dr. Michelle Therapy. That's Dr. Michelle with 2 L's therapy.com. Find out about what I'm really into, which is making positive life changes. It really works, and there are things that you can do. I'm not talking about, I'm going to say an affirmation every day that I am beautiful and I am wonderful. Well, that's great and all, but you have to believe and take action to make positive life changes. So that's what I'm about. And I'm also about helping you detox from the drama in all these relationships you have. It is like an addiction. And I talk about that as well. because it is. It can be. Okay, let's move on. What looks good here? Ah, dear Dr. Michelle, my husband has always had a bit of a problem about my past because I have had sex with men before him. You think? I'm 27 years old. I always thought, well, what's the deal? It's not like you were a virgin, you know? I mean, you guys have been married for 8 years. Okay, so like you were about 20, 21 years old. All right, great. But I found out that he actually was a virgin recently. And I'm happy that he finally trusted me enough to admit it, even though I will never completely understand why he kept it secret for so long. Yeah. However, it doesn't change the fact that sometimes he gets jealous about my time before him. You know, we both know that I can't change that, and he was aware of my past when we got together. Most of the time, everything's all right, but sometimes it isn't, you know, and then our life turns into an emotional hell. He will hurt my feelings with little snide remarks and just ignore me. You know, if I talk to friends who knew old boyfriends or whatever, he starts saying, oh, yeah, you think about him, you fantasize about him, you liked him, you had sex with him, and I... You know, so anyway, what she says here is, when I'm in emotional pain, my whole body hurts. I can't even function properly. And the three kids we have don't help that either. Oh, boy. So what could we try to get that weird jealousy under control with my husband? Okay. Yeah, he's got a lot of anger, hidden because he never told you. He's disappointed with himself and he's embarrassed. Yeah, they made like a joke of it and all that. But I mean, it's embarrassing to guys, I guess. So that's wonderful that you were his first. You guys make love. You have a wonderful time. He's got to get some therapy for this one. This perseveration on old men that you've had sex with is weird. You know, just because he chose to be a virgin and wait to get married, that's good. That's wonderful and all. But he knew going in to your marriage that you'd had sexual relationships before. I mean, he knew it. So why all of a sudden is he really... Well, I know why, because he recently revealed to you that he was a virgin before you got married, and you are his first. So he's angry, and he's upset, and he's putting it on you because he finally spilled the beans. And you didn't judge him, hopefully. You just said, oh, honey, wow. You know, I hope. So, you know, this is a really common problem. And it's not about your husband. The common problem is many husbands are virgins and they come in. No, the common problem is that a lot of people, couples, feel insecure about previous relationships. They do. They just, it's uncomfortable. You know, you don't, if you love somebody, you don't want to hear about how great their last sexual partner was before them. Usually, for the most part, or how many other people you've had. And, you know, some couples, women and men, think it's essential to talk about all of the experiences they've had so their partner will know what they're all about. Nah, I think it's probably better not to go there. Just say, yeah, I've had relationships and thought I loved this person and it was whatever. You know, see, if your husband feels insecure and is afraid that the other guys were better than him, remind him that these are relationships that were in the past, and you have chosen him, and you have married him now, and you have kids with him. He's being totally irrational, and he needs to see the difference between past and present. And here's the thing, a psychologist might be able to help him overcome his fears, you know, if he'll agree to going to psychotherapy. Maybe you guys should go to couples therapy, and then someone can kind of mediate and hear him out and say, yeah, I understand, and hear you out, and hopefully you're not talking about your past sexual escapades with your husband, because that's going to sting even more. But anyway, you've got to try to give him appreciation and affection and love. And baby, you really are the best. That's why I'm married to you. Try to make him more secure. You know, and maybe it can help you to see his vicious statements as his problem. Don't take them personally. You know, he's just insecure. He's being really insecure. For some reason, his self-esteem is low, and he has this, because he didn't have sexual experiences before you, maybe he thinks other people are really more savvy, and you've done so many other creative, wonderful things. You know. And a lot of times, lots of guys swing between being warm and loving and cold without feelings. You know, if he's got a lot on his mind, I call it husbands or boyfriends or men being in the zone. Because they have to download. So if your husband ignores you, try to keep out of his way and do something on your own. I don't know, call a friend, play with the kids, go to the mall. I don't know, do something, you know. When your husband's cold and withdrawn, you know, it's better to just kind of say, okay, I see that you need some downtime. I see that maybe you're, you know, I feel that maybe you're kind of downloading or something. And that's cool. Let him alone. Right? If he's nasty to you, I really think you should go to somebody and talk about it. And use the I statements I always talk about. You know, I feel hurt when you accuse me of old stuff that doesn't even matter to me. I feel sad that you just focus on this. Because it's about his low self-esteem, and he's always wondering. You know, just explore your behavior, too, towards him. I mean, are you talking about other guys with your girlfriends? Are you talking about the past? Just find out what you may be doing and ask him. It makes me sad when you start putting me down for having normal relationships with people in the past. Why would you want to do this? Maybe we should talk about it with a therapist. All right? Because, I mean, that, you know, that way it'll help. All righty. Hope I helped. Hang in there and be honest. And be understanding with him, too. But don't let him be nasty to you. Understand that he's just hurt. There's low self-esteem, and he's lashing out, you know. All right, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch with me, as you always are, on Fridays at 11 in the morning. And that's Pacific Standard Time here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to internet talk radio station. And if you'd like to email me a question, many like the ones I'm reading today, or anything you'd like to talk about, you can do so right here on the webpage on the radio station is the link to my own personal webpage. It's drmichelletherapy.com, and also my email address is docmichelle@aol.com. DOC? And you can write me, as all of the listeners have done. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm helping you out, hopefully, you know, with some of your questions. And it seems like there's a lot of sexual questions today. I don't know. But that's cool. We'll move on. I mean, I'm here. I'm not a sex therapist per se. But what I can do is just give you some sense. All right, hopefully. Dear Dr. Michelle, I don't understand male sexuality. Really? That's new and different. We're a newly married couple, and I'm just starting to get to know my man's personality, character, and stuff he carries around. Uh-oh. You're just getting to know him? And you're newly married? How long were you guys engaged? Come on, you got to really find out a lot about somebody before you choose to marry them. You know, their character, their personality. These are the biggies. These are the ones you really have to know about before you get married. Anyway, not to chastise you, but let's move on. I discovered that he was keeping a couple of videos in his secret room that he took when he was having sex with a prostitute. This was before he met me. All right. All right. He had a hidden video cam, and the woman was not aware that she was the star of the video. All right. I also found other videos in his private room with women wearing different kinds of sexy lingerie and then taking them off. When I confronted him about these, he told me that they were just friends and that they were just having fun. Well, I guess. You think? But I don't want to start a fight, so I just stopped talking about it. Then another thing happened. I discovered that he continually started collecting porn images and online videos. He has a collection of them. I don't understand this guy. I don't know what to do. Oh, dear. That's a tough one. Because, you should really have learned a lot more about this guy before you married him. I'm sorry. But he says, you know, we're just having fun. You know, so what I really think you need to do is work this through and find out how addicted to porn that he is. You know what I'm saying? According to evolutionary scientists, and here we go again, I'm just going to lay it on you. Natural selection has always favored men who want to have sex with as many women as possible. Right. It's just about the genetic code. Men get to spread their genes. So on the other hand, a man knows that his own wife would be furious and heartbroken if he cheated on her. We women, a lot of times, think that guys watching porn, and, you know, is cheating on them. Some married men argue that they have too little sex. You know, they don't get it enough. Or it's not right, and the women aren't there for them. So they can calm down their genes or whatever by looking at porn. And then they avoid the risks of cheating. I mean, you know. But, of course, wanting to view porn all the time can be an addiction. You know, it's like a drug. It's like alcohol or whatever. It's really hard to get rid of sometimes. So, as a woman, you know, we do get hurt. Here's what happens, and I really get what you're saying. We feel like we're not good enough. Just like the previous listener, you know, the husband's jealous of her previous affairs. You know, women, we get really jealous. It's really hard to find a solution. A guy who can't manage to give up his porno, you know, has to be really discreet in his hobby so his wife will not find out. But it's really difficult to hide things from a woman in her own place. Come on. He has a secret room. Give me a break. I have a secret room. You know what? It's like, don't think about the pink elephant in the room. I have a secret room. Don't go into it. Right. Now, here's the deal. Do you want to keep your man, even if he doesn't want to give up his hobby of viewing porn? Is it okay for you to have him look at it? Maybe he wants to live a bachelor life. But maybe he wants to stay married because it's, you know, it's really kind of like the basis for him. Maybe he thought he could quit, but he wasn't able to do it. You know, you have the power to decide what you want to do. And here's your choices. You convince your husband to quit or manage it or go to therapy. You tolerate it and feel horrible and resentful that he's looking at other women, or you leave him. I mean, that's the thing. You know? Guys who are cheating on their wives and watch porn usually say that it's their wives that they love. The other ones are just sexual objects. You know? Women find it very difficult to accept. You know? You got to find out just how involved your husband is in porn. And let me ask you this. If you'd have known this, and again, I say you just have recently started finding out about these characteristics and you're married to him, you know, if you'd known these things, would you have married him? Just saying. Would you have married him? Okay. And, you know, treatment, sex addiction treatment is, you know, it is effective sometimes. I mean, it's really difficult if this is what his deal is. Because he's got to, he's got to work with expressing feelings, reprogramming his dysfunctional messages. He's got to deal with shame. You know, he's got to have coping strategies, whatever's going on. I don't really know what's going on. But, you know, you have to just kind of, I know you're into it and you can't do anything about it now because you married him, but you didn't know about this stuff. You may, I know you've argued about it. You may tell him that it's bothering you so much that you're thinking about separating. It's getting in the way of our sex life, and ask him to get some help. If he doesn't get help, then you have to decide. You have to decide. That's the way it is. All right. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and we are continuing on with our Free for All Friday here on LA Talk Radio. It's where I listen and read different listeners' questions and issues and just try to help you out with some of your problems. And we don't have a therapeutic relationship, you and I, but I do try to give you advice and suggestions. And, see how I can help you out with things. Make you think about things sometimes. Get you to, you know, hear some of the common things that people do and how they solve their problems. Right? All right, let's move on here. And by the way, if you want to, you know, write me an email and you want me to help you on the air, you can do so. It's docmichelle@aol.com. Just or check out my website. You can click right there on the link here at LA Talk Radio. You can also check me out on iTunes. Got all my shows there and all the topics, you know, about different things. If you want to know about how to handle jealousy, if you want to know how to have better self-esteem, yeah, if you're depressed, trying to deal with that, you have major stress, you know, all that stuff's on there. I've done shows on all of them. And I've interviewed some fabulous authors about managing fears, having healthier relationships, and some spiritual stuff. Thinking out of the box, get your life together, things like that. So you can check those out on iTunes as well. Okay, let's move on. This sounds really interesting. All right, dear doc, I have been with my girlfriend for almost 3 years. Everything has been good until a few months ago when she became the general manager at her store. She has changed. I don't know why. It's like she doesn't have any concern for me. Okay, we had our disagreements, but nothing serious. She won't talk to me about it and says if she didn't love me, she wouldn't be around. All right, we used to have a lot of sex and a lot of fun, even with all the kids. I feel like I'm losing her. In fact, I feel as if she's already gone. If I stay in this, it's going to tear me apart. I love her, and I can't leave. She has me all confused on what to do. Help me deal with this misery. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. All right, Steve, here's the thing. Your girlfriend, you got to think about what's going on. Your girlfriend has advanced in her job and become a general manager. It sounds that she's really got a lot of responsibility. New problems every day. Management? Yeah. You got to manage. You've got to delegate. You got to handle it. And this is not easy for her. So she has to really focus on a lot of stuff going on at work. So what she may need from you is that you understand how pressed and how difficult this new change is in her life at work. And maybe you can help her with managing the home, managing the kids. I know you probably work too. Maybe you're more attentive when you come home from work. Maybe you're one of those guys. And she just kind of shuts off. She does the old, I need to download, and ignores you. And then weekends aren't long enough because she's so exhausted because she has to take care of the kids in the house and then get up again and do it all over again. So, I, a lot of times what happens in these relationships is when someone really has grown accustomed, they get more familiar with their work. They're not going to be so depressed and anxious and ignoring and distant. And she'll become more of your old kind of girlfriend. You know, it's not easy for anybody to work both, you know, full time and then come home to a house and try to deal with the kids and, you know, different demands. You know, the ideal thing is when you have kids is to work part-time or not at all. Sometimes financially, in this society, we can't do it. Both partners have to be working. All right, so maybe you could do little things, like sit down with her and say, what can I do to help? Maybe you can have the food ready when she comes home. You know, maybe clean up something. What can I do to help you out today, honey, if I get home before you? Okay. And she may just be so overloaded, she can't cope with anything. Sometimes what women do is they push men away when they're so overwhelmed with work stress, kid stress, house stress. And there starts a little bit of resentment. Now, she chose it. She chose to jump into this job thing and take on management. That was her choice as an adult. But, you know, sometimes there is resentment with being so overwhelmed with so many things in life. That's not life's about enjoyment. You know, having a career, working on it, focusing on it, and doing what you can do and enjoying that, bringing in income, that's lovely. But it's about trying to function. And see, when she's miserable, and I hope she's listening, and pushing you away, and she's also probably pushing the kids away. You see? So it really, maybe you guys should go to couple therapy. And I don't mean to pass it off like that, but truly, you know, kind of be able to communicate, you know, some of your concerns in front of a mediator, in front of a therapist, and let her talk about her stuff. And then kind of agree to disagree and work some things out together. You know, I don't think she loves you any less. It's just, you know, there's a thing of being overwhelmed when you have too many things. Like you're running on a treadmill in life, and that's the way it is. You know, so that's just an idea that I have. And I really appreciate you writing. Because it's a common problem I see. And what with both men and women, where men are so stressed, and women, with their work, and then they have to come home and manage the house, and then they have kids, and they have to pay bills, and it's crazy. You feel like you have no downtime, which makes you more depressed, more stressed, more fatigued, more frustrated, and you can get sick physically. So try to work it out. Go see a therapist. Talk to her using I statements. I feel sad when you ignore me because I love you, and I'm so worried about you being stressed. That kind of thing. All right. Dr. Michelle here, and you are on the couch with me as you usually are at this time on LA Talk Radio, which is Fridays, 11 o'clock in the morning. That's Pacific Standard Time. And what I'm doing is a free-for-all Friday. I am answering questions from listeners who have written me on docmichelle@AOL.com about their stuff. Maybe I can help you out, give you a little advice. And you're welcome to do so, docmichelle@AOL.com. You can check out the shows here by downloading them in the past. Check out the content if you want to do any kind of subject. And, of course, hear me on iTunes as well. And that will give you all the information on different themes and things like that for each show. Okay, let's move on. All right, Dr. Michelle, how do I learn to say no? This is a good one. Tell me more about learning to say no. Do you recommend confidence or assertiveness training? Or what do you recommend? Thanks. And that's from Cassie. You know, saying no can be very difficult. I mean, some people just can't do it because they're always trying to people please. A lot of folks with low self-esteem very often have a lack of assertiveness, right? Whatever the upbringing was, whatever it is. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go, you know, all that on you. But what I'm going to say is a lot of people think that they have to meet the expectations of everyone. There were expectations put upon them to please mommy or daddy, or always be the perfect child, or never to have their own identity and head and, you know, mind and all that. So they have to be always perfect. People pleasers. And many times it's really hard for them to set limits with others because they were never allowed to growing up. And they feel ashamed. They feel guilty. So if they were to ever say no to anyone growing up, it's like, what? You do what I say. You know. So the problem is doing things against your will possibly will make you end up feeling resentful. You're going to feel used by other people. You're going to get angry. And you're angry at yourself for not speaking up. But it was never okay for you to speak up. So this is your pattern. So learning how to say no. No. It doesn't have to be no. That's the best solution. You know, if you cannot do something for someone and you don't know how to say no, if you need to give an explanation, which a lot of people who can never say no because they were always trying to please, you know, they need to give an explanation. Just keep it simple. No, I've already made another appointment for that time. No, I'm so sorry. I'm afraid I have to say no because I really don't have any spare time this weekend. That's it. And, you know, if that doesn't help, here's some other. You can write yourself scripts. What I have my clients do a lot of times is they don't know how to approach someone or they don't know how to say no or be assertive or whatever. I have them write out phrases or sentences that will help them, that after a while they just become easier to help them learn assertiveness, because it's okay to be assertive, not aggressive. So other ways of saying no, you can say something like, you know, I can't do this right now. Or, no, thank you, but not this time. So sorry, I'm so sorry, but not this time, it's not going to work. I hope you understand that I can't come. That's a good one. Yeah. Or even if you really want to get assertive, I'd rather not on this day. That's a hard one because people will say, who are used to pushing you around because you've never been able to say no to them, why not? Because it's just not going to fit into my schedule. That's it. You know, if you want to be really assertive, always think about starting the sentence with no. And then, you know, follow it up with no, I'm so sorry, I can't make it. No, it's, I can't come over for 3 hours and listen to you talk about your boyfriend because I have other things that I planned on doing. But I love you. You know, when you're with somebody, you know, you can do body language as well. You can shake your head and use nonverbal assertiveness. Shake your head, no. Keep your eye contact. No, not looking around like, oh, no, just no, I'm sorry, can't make it. I love you. I'm sorry you're dealing with this. The decision really has to be up to you, but sometimes it's really tough to say no right now. Okay? You can use an empathetic no, right? If it's under, oh, no. No, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you're going through this. You know, like, what happened recently? Somebody felt really guilty because they didn't. I know what they did. They had a couple of dogs that their best friends asked them to watch on the weekend. So, you know, she felt really guilty because she didn't know how to say no because their neighbors knew they weren't leaving. And she just didn't want the responsibility. She wanted to be able to do what she wanted to do. So, you know, I just said, say, I'm so sorry. It just, I know it's going to be hard for someone, you know, to find to help you out, but my husband and I want to go off, you know, and out and do some certain things this weekend, and we don't want to, you know, have to be coming back to the house to be worried about your dogs, because we're very attentive and we'd always be really attentive and take care of them, but we want to be able to just go somewhere for several hours and not worry about it, because we really care about your animals. And they do have lots of little, you know, doggy hotels. You know, maybe you can help her find one. And that's the kind of thing, you know, she felt so guilty about. A lot of people really find it difficult to say no because they've always been made feel guilty to say it growing up with mommy or daddy. You know, so it's just being assertive. You can always take assertiveness training classes too, because those are good. You know, they'll help you out. I think it's a really good idea. So, all right, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and we are moving on here to Free for All Friday. What I'm doing is I'm helping you with questions. Here's a good one. Ooh, I like that. And by the way, if you want to write me, you can do so at docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. You can link on to that from my website, too, at drmichelletherapy.com. All righty, dear Michelle, I did a stupid thing. Uh-oh. I'm single and had a friendship and am now having a sexual relationship with a coworker who I know is engaged. Uh-oh. I just found out that she's cheating on me and her fiancé with someone else. Ah! Oh, God, I'm sorry. When I confronted her about it, she said, yeah, but you're the one that showed me the way. She knows I like her a lot and often verbally abuses me at work, embarrasses me in front of friends. Do I have to get a new job? How do I manage this? All righty, Brian. Here's the thing. That really sucks that she blames you. You showed me the way. But she's not taking responsibility for her own actions. You're the one that started me to cheat. Not only on you, but on someone else. Now, you know, it just frees her from her responsibility to put that on you. And it sounds like you really care for her, but you got to detox from this drama, baby. This is what I talk about a lot. Detoxing from all that drama. I am so sorry that you jumped into this relationship with this coworker who you knew was engaged. You know, what was up with that? Okay, great, the sex was good. I get it. But now you're connected with her emotionally, it sounds like, Brian. I don't know. Here's the thing. You have a choice, of course, as we all do, many choices. Continue under her dominance and accept the way she treats you. Continue to live with the hope that she'll continue giving you sexual favors or whatever. She's still engaged to this poor guy, this other guy? You know, or you can just distance yourself from her. It was your choice to have an affair with a woman who you knew was engaged. It was your choice, man. That's on you. You know, and if you want to keep working at your job, that's fine. If you don't want to lose your job, you should have thought about that before you started having an affair with your coworker. But, you know, she might get angry. She might stir things up at job and make life miserable for you. I don't think she would because she's engaged and then it could get out to her fiancé. I don't know what's going on. She's got trouble. She's mixed up. She's engaged to somebody and having an affair with two people. What? She got problems, man. Don't even go near. I don't know why you're attracted to somebody like that. Great. The sex is great. Okay, good. Find somebody else to have great sex with. That's not engaged. And that's not fooling around on you, too. And that's not working with you. God. That's crazy. I'm not calling you crazy, but your choice was not really a good choice. You know? It was your thing. So, you know, if you want to sit down with her, you could kindly tell her that you really care about her, but it really hurts you that she's having an affair with someone else because you thought that she was your only affair and that it's hurting your feelings. You care for her a great deal. But at this point, it's not going to work out for you. Find somebody else. Find a girlfriend with no other attachments. Find someone who's healthy. Or find someone who will agree with you that they just want to have a sexual relationship, but they don't have all these entanglements. Like being at the same place you work, and like being engaged to somebody else. Find someone who's available. and not unbalanced in her mind. I mean it. That's... Why did you choose this person? I know, sex. It was great. I get it. This is drama. Don't get out of this drama. Take care of yourself, man. It's just, that's my advice. Pull out. You know what I'm talking about. Get out of that relationship. All right. It's just about that time. We have to go. We're coming up on the CBS News. This is Dr. Michelle, of course, as I'm always with you on Fridays at 11 o'clock in the morning here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to talk radio station. And you've been on the couch with me for almost the last hour. You can stay on it if you like. But we got other things coming up, other great shows coming up as well. And it's always so nice to hear from you. By the way, if you want to email me, you can do so. My website, of course, is drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle, no dots in there, Dr. Michelle with two L's, drmichelletherapy.com, and or you can write me, as all the listeners did today with their issues and wanted advice, at docmichelle@aol.com. Check out my podcast as well. I'm on iTunes if you want to check out a particular subject, whether it be relationship problems, self-esteem issues, depression, stress, phobias, fears, things like that. We talk about them all here on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your psychologist. All right, have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, I have a fabulous guest. We're going to talk about music therapy. He is the famous John Davies. Yeah, he's the opera star and composer. He has his famous schools all over the world. And we get to talk about why he does what he does for other people and the joy of music and creativity. And you're going to love it. He's a cool guy. All right. Have a great day and a week. And I'll see you next Friday about this time. Do take care of yourself first, by the way, as I always say, so you can be great for others. Okay? Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind. Again tonight, seeing flashing rays of colored light.